So, Brother Emil, I have a question, but I want to just bring us back to the thought of the old nature and the new nature. And when we come into Romans chapter 8, because there's been this ongoing battle in chapter 7. And so how am I to overcome the power of the old nature? The power has been given to us in the Spirit of God, who is spoken of as the Spirit of life. And as Brother Emil has been talking about the pig and the bird, he's given us this illustration as to who we're going to feed is the one, that nature that is going to assert its authority over me. So if I continue to feed the old nature, it is going to have the authority in my life every day. But the Spirit of God has been given to us to overcome the authority of the old nature. And when I allow the Spirit of God to assert himself, and how do I do that? We covered this yesterday. Reading the Word of God, being before him, in prayer, in dependence, then the power of the Spirit of God, he is able to assert his authority over me, and therefore I not only have the positional reality of being in Christ, but my daily condition is one that is seen as the life that is in Christ Jesus. I want to just read this question because it seems we need to have a little bit more clarity. Could you define carnal and flesh and the difference? So again, let's get that clarity. Define carnal and flesh and the difference. You want to help?
Yeah. I think there's just what helps us a lot is we have to understand we are a new creation. We have the flesh still dwelling in us. We are here on this earth. But we are a new creation, and we have to simply live according to this new creation. And we saw in verse 10 underlines this thought. We saw it many times yesterday and before. The old flesh is dead. So in the example that we had before, like of the pig, it's dead. We just have to say, listen, you're dead. You don't have to do anything with it. We are a new creation. And as if a person who has a disease in them, like they have a bad stomach and that produces certain effects. So we have this this issue of the sin that we end up doing, this flesh that we have in us, that is still allowed to, that God has allowed us to still have while on this earth, and one day we will be free of this body. This ends up tempting us, and like we saw in, I believe it was James, that this temptation then produces us to do certain effects, like a person who has a disease does certain things under the influence of that disease. But that does not change the fact that we are a new creation, and this is, yeah.
We do well to have Scripture answer our questions for us. Now, when it comes to the question of a carnal believer, we might have 15 different angles we can come at. But Scripture gives us a very clear definition. And this is where we want to come to as young people, to find the answers unequivocally in the Word of God. Now, Emil rightly referred us to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, let's look again at the history of the Corinthians. They were saved. They were saved out of abominable circumstances in Corinth. It was a wicked city. They had been saved when Paul went there. But in chapter 3, we have this verse, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Let's not contrast fleshly with carnal. Let's contrast carnal with spiritual. That's where we need to be. That's what those two things are. So he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What had happened to the Corinthians? Dear brother, do you have your baby bottle with you today? What if one of your children, I have four children and a lot of grands, and what if Joshua, 11 years old, was still coming to meeting with his baby bottle? You'd realize right away something is wrong. The natural growth that should have been with a child has not taken place. Let's go back to scripture again. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. Paul says the very same thing to the Hebrew believers. I would give you strong meat, but you're not ready for it. You have not grown in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So these Corinthian believers were saved. They were not spiritual, but they were those that had not grown. So I think that helps us to look for our answers in the Word of God. In the flesh is not my position. Is the flesh in me? Absolutely. But I'm not seen as in the flesh anymore. I'm in Christ Jesus. So what is the end that the Spirit of God would bring one to who is in Christ Jesus? I think it's clearly seen in verse 13, the end of it. Ye through the Spirit, that's what Tony has said, that's the strength, that's the power. Apart from that, I don't have any power. It's not my willpower. It's the Spirit of God that would enable you and I and the Romans to put to death the members of the body. So I hope that helps a little bit. And we really, it's 5 till 11. Okay.
We'll sing a hymn after.
But just thinking of these two terms, and okay, it came out here, but just to further emphasize, I believe that when Paul speaks of being carnally minded, each and every time he is writing specifically to believers.
To Christians.
Okay? So just as in Romans here, these verses that we've been taking up here, he defines who a Christian is. Mm-hmm. One who has the Spirit of God dwelling within him, but he's writing to them. Remember, from the very beginning, he's teaching the gospel, and he's teaching the gospel to believers. And so he's writing to Christians here. So to be carnally minded is acting in the flesh, which was what we were before. And bringing that in, and now I'm having that because I'm feeding that. Okay? Now, the power that exists in us now because of the Spirit of God, I want to say it's twofold. Okay? It's a power to suppress that flesh because it's stronger, but not only to suppress it, it gives us also power to live, which is power to walk. Right? So by the energy of the Spirit of God, going back to the analogy, we're feeding on Christ, on what is positive, okay? That takes away the desire even to feed on the flesh, okay? And then it also gives us the energy further to walk in newness of life. So it's twofold, right? And I think that's important. We have to realize that it's in both directions.
Sorry. Let's not stand.
Okay. I just had a question because Tony referred to the old nature. Is it the same as the old man?
Oh. Well, for our discussions, we should be consistent here in Romans. So we're dealing with the old man, new man. I wanted to talk about the conflict that exists there. But the main thought here, as we've said at the beginning, God is looking at two men, Adam and Christ. And we know that the things that are associated with death are connected to the old creation, the old man, the old nature. And those are in conflict constantly with the things that are new that are found in Christ. So just so we're consistent with what we find in the book of Romans, it is the struggle that we are talking about. And when we give way to the old man, right, the man in the boat who wants to continue to guide us, we need to lock him up, close the door, not listen to him. But we have in Christ, right, the ability through the Spirit of God to now have one who is greater than that which controlled us once, and that is the Spirit of God. And I think that's the point we really want to leave on. The power is never going to be of us and our own self-will. It's always going to come through the Spirit of God.
But how come that the Bible always warns us of the sin that is in the body and not of the old man?
So maybe we can, that's a good question. Maybe we can take that up just after a quick hymn.